Hello, this is Daryl War, and I had decided not to do a Pit Update podcast for August, but I am just so chatty, and I'm pretty sure this would be therapeutic for me and for some of you, and I got a lot on my mind, as well as this lovely reading of a review from Oisin I'd like to share. And it's me reading it, so I'm kind of excited. I'm not going to hear it again for a while. Anyway, I'm really, really pleased to have a few of you writing to me now, and I've also been pleased getting back into the pen pal world and a little of the gothic realm with people into that stuff. So if you hear me kicking back and happier, remember it's because there is human interaction happening more. So don't stop. We have a lot of those cliches of ignore the negative, but that advice truly does not work unless there is good to counterbalance or just shooting the breeze on a regular basis. So please bear that in mind, everyone. And if you haven't contacted me because you're too nervous or shy or whatever, just try and remember who I am, what I do, why I do it. And also realize that when good people like you aren't in touch and corresponding, the bad people or the bad behavior takes over. Like I was talking to Jonah about getting super pissed off at a couple people on Tumblr. And Jonah was like, Daryl, I cannot for the life of me understand how you could put up with stuff like that. It's just atrocious giving you a hard time about your personal life when it's obvious they know who you are, they enjoy some of your material, but all they do is skulk around messing with people. They got their own sandbox to play in. They don't need to go messing with somebody else's sandbox. And I laughed and I said, I know, here is this technology for educational purposes as well as communication. And so many people have just gotten so infantile with the darn thing. It is like people messing with each other's sandboxes and playgrounds. Oh my lord. And I don't know these people from Adam or Eve, and they're getting all familiar with me, so I'm talking about that just to let you all recognize that when you keep in touch and shoot the breeze with me on a regular basis, talking, not sharing files really, just chatting, you make it a whole lot easier to just live. And I mean live. Yes, there are always going to be horrible things, always going to be bad stuff. But if we don't keep in touch, we're not going to handle that stress very well at all. Keep that in mind. Another thing we need to recognize is there are a lot of people making nasty remarks about characters we love in social networks. But one of the reasons that comes up is these people have a lot of time on their hands. They aren't necessarily working, they likely don't have regular friendships. And yes, some of that comes from this technology and whatever friends they had, likely relegating them to social networks, so that just makes everyone lonely. But if you see someone mouthing off about a character or scene in a show you like, and not like Mother Lurch, because that was pretty valid, somebody saying something nasty about her, because she was putting the Sweet Addams Family through a sense of exclusion from their own home. But yes, there are these wonderful, loving characters, and then someone makes some annoying remark, and it makes you feel bad. But really, just look at the likelihood. Does this person making the statement have healthy relationships with people, whether it's currently or in their whole life? Probably not. And I'm not saying to look down your nose at these people. I'm just saying look at it that way. Look at it that way and try to steer clear of those types, since they won't encourage better things out of you. This is why I am getting better, because more people are talking to me, either about the show I'm making, or at least with the acknowledgement that I'm making it, not avoiding the darn topic and leaving me to rot with loneliness and meanie. So thank you, folks, and keep doing it. Just keep on talking. It's really sad. Things get easier and easier and easier, and people get lazier and lazier and lazier, and we're all just suffering this dreadful lack of discussion with each other. Just the basic stuff, too. And, the idea of like, well, post it on Facebook, see how people respond, and oh, no. This just fried so much comprehensive understanding. Episode 16, I'm really pleased. I'm trying to go back to a scene a day, but, you know, there is a lot of correspondence I have to get to, a lot of things here that need to get done. You know, dishes are starting to get clean on a regular basis. Toilets still need, you know, when I mentioned, you look at your toilet. Does it function? Life ain't that bad. Well, we actually do have some toilet problem, though, here. And I'm just like, oh, man. Yeah, so that's one of the reasons I mentioned that. We're going to get that fixed and then some other things around the house. That's keeping me busy. So getting back to the one scene a day thing is difficult. But I've been pretty pleased. Oh, guys, done. Hopefully that won't go fall down anywhere. And I sent it to somebody and they're just like, oh, more Hawkeye. I'm like, oh my gosh, that took 2.5 years and so much grief and listening. And that was one of the reasons that I got angry, you know, because I was working Hawkeye for the fourth or fifth time all night after doing a little Beetlejuice because there was some stuff that I wanted to do. But I was already set to do some performing in the middle of the night. So then I wake up and I see something really callous, really rude, really personal. And I've been working like for 6-8 hours to make this entertainment. Everybody just take it for granted. I'm just like, and then I couldn't believe it. Just, well, you don't want to alienate this. What, they're a rude person? I don't want to alienate. Yes, I do want to alienate a rude person. Yes, I do. Just, what happened? You know, some of the kids, they know. I had this other pen pal who's very young. He's like, man, if you need more retaliation, you let me know. I got all kinds of stuff you can put out there. No, it's fine. But some of the other kids, I'm like, oh my gosh, how are you? This is super, super grade school, junior high, high school. Oh my gosh. It really worries me to see people thinking that this kind of behavior is acceptable. It's just, no, yes, I do. I want to alienate rude people. I don't want them. I want nice people. It's obvious. So anyway, just... Yeah, that really terrifies me to have people coming to me saying, don't alienate a rude person. Really? Yes, I do. I do. And that the mother thing, it's like, I put this out there to get the discussion. I wasn't going to share it at all. And then all of a sudden everybody thinks they've hired themselves out as my mother. It's just ridiculous. Like, no, I've got a mother. Okay, I got a mom. I'm very happy with her. And actually, my mom, she's just like, well, yeah, I mean, these people, like, she's, you know, it's not just because, oh, you're my baby or whatever. It's like, these people are ridiculous. Yeah, you good. You got rid of them. Good. That's her angle. So there you go. Anyway, yeah, it's working so hard on that. So there is, I can't remember how many scenes there are for episode 16. Okay. There are 10 scenes for episode 16, and that includes Milligan and Hecubus opening. That's scene one, always with them. So there are 10 scenes, and I've gotten about 4 of them accomplished. I'm still working on 5. Some of them, actually, I've had to square them out because even though some of them are in the same room, I still section them out because different sets of people are talking. So you've got the Hawkeye, Stokes, Hoffman. That is, of course, at the Collinsport Hospital, if anybody remembers the joke from ages ago, and it'll be there, Hecubus, General Hospital, and Milligan says, wrong show, Hecubus. I figure I had to make some other soap opera joke. So it's got those three characters, one being Dr. Hawkeye Pierce. But then there's another one pretty much in the same room, but it's darker. The Hawkeye stuff is quite fun. Just because Dr. Hoffman is not happy. And she wouldn't be. I mean, think about it. She would not be. I mean, she had to work with this guy coming back from Korea. And just with his wild, you know, and I'm sure he would have needed some battle fatigue treatment for whatever reason. And she would just be like, oh my God. Because Julie's just so darn serious most of the time. And she's just, eh. And that's part of why it works so well, is that she's just like, I don't want to do it. Oh, no, please don't be. And there he is. And she's like, So try to put up with it. Which, of course, and then you know Professor Stokes would be like, oh, what's this? You know, he'd be all like, And then it's also good because Hawkeye just encourages Will. Not blatantly saying, why don't you speak up, but just saying, well, it's obvious. But anyway, yeah, then the third scene is in the same room. It's shorter, but it's got a little bit of Caleb and that kind of thing. It's a lot darker. And then four and five are also in the same room, pretty much the old house. And I've had to cut, you know, make 2 scenes, even though it's the same room, just because, you know, there's one set of people talking and then another set of people talking. In scene 4, Angelique and Wadsworth and Sarah and Willie and Barnabas, and that's just a lot of people. Which I had to put in a lot of music because there was a lot of tension because, you know, there she is and there's all these people there. I mean, she doesn't stand a chance. Fangs or no fangs. She got nothing because there's too many people to operate with, especially if Sarah's there, because Sarah's there, you know, she's hosed, you know, because that's just shocking. But then later on, it's Angelique does well, ultimatum and leaves. And then the rest, everybody else kind of wanders off. Barnabas is still in the room. And then Sam and Maggie, you know, having eavesdropped about everything, they got to do a bunch of stuff. So that's the scenes are separate for that purpose of just there's so much going on. So even if it's in the same room, I'm making it a separate scene. That's good because separating the scenes out and trying to maintain them that way, I can put them together for the podcast. But for people getting the CDs, it's better to try and start doing it this way because then I can make it in separate tracks. So the different scenes, and that's not as overwhelming as like having to listen to a whole scene, because I've realized that that's one of the problems with some of you getting the CDs. I do have 1 and 2 finished, working on 3. There's a few here and there, so if you want one with separate tracks and you already got one with one big track, write to me and let me know. Shouldn't be a big deal. There is that. That's about as far as I've gotten with that. Really, so difficult. And just layering so many things. Do I really want to put more footsteps in? Especially with scene 4. There's a Barnabas line and there's an Angelique line that has microphone problems. And hopefully that won't be a big issue. But I'm like, I'm not getting paid. I'm not going to bother with trying to re-perform the whole thing. Because I had to do that the other day with Milligan. And that's one of the things that annoys me when somebody says, change this little thing. Well, it's not there to have you say, change this little thing. I want to know what you like. This critique is Vogue thing has gotten way out of hand. But I looked at the microphone pops. I'm like, ugh. No, I'm not gonna go into Angelique and reperform her for even just one line, and I'm not gonna go into Barnabas mode to reperform his. And now there was a major problem with getting to the old house in episode 16, where Milligan didn't express that Barnabas was there. He just started randomly talking about him. I'm like, oh, I gotta write another Milligan line for this introduction to the scene. I've got to watch Kevin McDonald for a while to get into the mode. Hopefully, not have any noise coming either from creaks in the house, whatever's going on, or people outside making noise. You know, I remember I complained about motorcycles and helicopters and whatever. And do all of that, perform it, noise clean it, edit it, splice it in. So yeah, when somebody says change this little thing, it takes at least an hour, if not 24 hours, to change this little thing. So yeah, it's annoying. It's annoying. So that's why I didn't bother with those microphone pops. I'm just leaving them in because Dark Shadows has a bunch of bloopers anyway, and they just go through. that's one of the adorable things about Dark Shadows, and that's why I don't get too uptight about what I'm doing. I try to make it really good, but if there's flaws, I don't worry about it because I've just been through too much grief anyway, and I do work very hard to try and make it a very enjoyable show, and y'all, a lot of you know that, so. I guess there is a reason in my life I had the earlier form of the internet, and I mean, it was slow. It got to the point with the dial-up internet, which was always breaking through, you know, a phone call. Somebody called and people would apologize if they cut you off your internet because they called you on the phone. Yeah, I did not like the internet at all when it got started, and I've obviously still got issues with it, but don't we all? Anyway, the reason I got started in the late 1990s was interest. You get the temptation, oh, well, you can get more of whatever you're looking for online. You don't have to go buy magazines or whatever. It was Xena. That was one thing. Me and my husband were watching a lot of Xena. We just thought that was kind of hilarious, actually, but it was fun. And Sailor Moon. That's what really got me online in the late 1990s. Sailor Moon obviously went the farthest, and I made a lot of unique friends, and we even sent each other stuff and wrote to each other random Sailor Moon goodies. Or stationery we found, so we had an excuse to use it. And it wasn't all rainbows and buttercups. We had our dramas and so forth. I remember once people were getting all up in arms over the War of 1812. and me and a few other people were saying, this is a Sailor Moon chat room. If you're going to get political, have it be about the Moon Kingdom. So yes, there was some off-topic drama, but never really any about the show Sailor Moon. And it was also how I found out about Spice Girls, because a lot of the people in the Sailor Moon were like, oh, you know, go and see them, or this album, or whatever, and just, well, flip on some of the trendy stations around here and see if I can find them. And I'm like, I bet that's them. And I was right. Then later, I finally allowed myself the enjoyment of what they were all about, Spice Girls. In either case, there is a lot of celebration of diversity there. So that makes sense. Plus, with how the formula for Sailor Moon worked, I ended up learning a ton about the planets and the solar system and also mythology, because that was how it all operated. Whereas with Dark Shadows, I pretty much knew most of what that was based on going in. You should have seen us roll our eyes when Adam went to Sam after he'd lost his vision, after Sam did, and we were like, oh man, here we go with the Frankenstein thing again, since that was one of the key parts of the Frankenstein monster story. Anyway, if you are a new listener hearing this, do feel free to contact me, email, of course. I'm working real hard to take away the Facebook time because, you know, as much as I do kind of like to use it to chat to people, and I know it's easier for some people. I don't have a smartphone. I'm going to be glued to a seat, and it's kind of difficult. Writing is better. Letters are better. Emails better. Nice chunky ones, if you can do that. But do feel free, if you're a new listener, and let me know what you enjoyed. I think the entire run so far of this program as a whole, meaning intros and extracurriculars like that, is a good way to really analyze someone going stark raving mad from neglect. And that is the truth. Sometimes I want to write to Laura Parker and tell her, you know, your performance of that character truly helps me to identify with how crazy someone can go when they feel unloved. And with some of the better Angelique fans out there, that is our draw to Angelique. We can see she is in so much pain, and she can't escape the fact that she got some action from a super loving guy and could not get enough, just ripping up everything to get more. You know? And yes, we can look at ourselves and say, this is why I get crazy. I'm not finding any evidence of love in my life. Plus the word love, you tell someone it enough times without showing it, it's basically junk food or fast food. Your stomach might feel full, but the rest of your body knows for damn sure you are not getting the nutrients that you need. This is why I despise the meme throwing and link sharing. It's all so much junk food. The human interaction taken out of that is just horrible for us. It's like the cards you send people. If all you do is sign your name and don't add a little something, it gets a little senseless. Just filling up someone's house with junk because you don't want to talk to them. Gifts can be good things, but the excess is, we all need much more than that. So I think that's about it. I'm going to the Oshin review here. And now I'm going to get misty and maudlin and all this stuff, but I mean, it was just so funny. You know, I'm reading her review from the 20th of August, 2015. That's how long ago it was. So, oh, yeah, it's like a year ago. So it's kind of the late anniversary, I guess, because it was just a number of days ago. But yeah, and I had decided I really wanted to let her know how much I was enjoying it by doing it candidly, and yeah, it was so wonderful, because I mean, she got everybody. It's really special. So enjoy.
Okay, I just got this. I have to respond. I want to give you my candid responses, you know, so maybe I can get this going. I'm just laying down here, and wow. For seven here. Let me get to it. Hopefully I can. I'm trying to get a new equipment set up here, so we shall see how I do. This looks good. Because I started laughing and I'm like, no, you gotta give her your full attention here. I was anticipating this, and I'm very pleased. And now, finally managed to get back to it, and goodness knows if I'll manage to put all the things in the review I want before it's just inescapably too late at night. Oh, thank you very much, Oshin. But anyway, there are always the two-part review technique. Yes, I sort of managed that just because your chapters are so long, you know, and I want to make sure that I go through everything with you. And for me, it's got to be interactive now. I'm so people-starved, and it's, I don't know, it's almost impossible for me to just enjoy something alone. So we do this. Appreciate Sir Simon ordering decaf. He's definitely someone who could use it. I was just laughing so hard. I believe it. I believe. Liked Maggie's slip of the tongue / time slip of the memories in calling the blue whale the Eagle Tavern. Thank you. And her quip to Sir Simon about the unholy tip. Definitely, their bantering interaction reminded me very clearly of so many blue whale scenes early in the show. Like Captain Griggs, I haven't the innards, replied to Sam. Thank you so much. I was working so hard on that because I'm so careful with, like, profanity. But I'm like, if I can work it in where it actually, I tried different, it's like, you know, like, Sam saying, are you crapping me? Are you pooping me? But no, it had to be, are you getting me? It had to be. There was just, you don't say it any other way, that phrase. Yeah, and then, of course, Greg's response when I asked him, he's like, well, I don't have the innards. Well, just tell Sam that, okay. I love the character trait of Morticia crying at weddings, but that these two are already married, so she needn't cry at her stiff lower lip comment, which is brilliant. Oh, yay! And the line about Victoria not having had her hand kissed since leaving Collinsport. That's such a great evocation of what it's like having Mr. Old-Time Gallantry Barnabas around. Exactly! And I didn't see the parallel, Sheen. I didn't see the parallel in the two couples. And then I realized Gomez does that because it was only going to be a short trip. They were going to run away from the Addams Family too. And then I studied the Addams Family and I said, no, look at these guys. And I'd seen them before, but it had been time since I studied them again. And I was like, oh my God. And I just went along with it. And then after a while, an MJD happened. I'm like, Morticia Gomez shows at Barnabas. Holy crap! It's like, wow! And the French is in there too! You know, there's so many parallels. It's scary. And I think that's why I can't, me and Karamia have had a hard time pairing them up for a story, because it's like, it's almost too much to handle the two couples at once. You know, it's better to just think of them in themes, at least right now. And very much liked Morticia's appreciation of Vicky Winter's last name. Yes, it's a chilly name. It just so much came out when I worked with the Addams Family. It was wonderful. And the idea that she'd want to keep her last name in order to be traceable by some mysterious family member. Thank you very much. Definitely that makes sense as to why she would do so, since otherwise one would expect her to be a traditionalist and take her husband's last name as a matter of course. Yay, see, I thought of everything. Thank you very much for noticing that. Love the clock having been given a name, and also love the idea of Mrs. Johnson calling time and temperature. And I don't remember this, but dang, I just thought of everything. I put it all in here. And boy, do I remember doing that when I was a kid. Love the list of possible date options Carolyn and Tony could go on. And also love the fact that, at least at first, they just opt for some heavy making out on the sofa. Hopefully someday you'll hear that on the radio drama, on the audio version. The whole interaction with Liz was brilliant and absolutely right. Loved her little, at least it's not Buzz! Thank you so much! I was just thinking it over and it's like, Elizabeth, would you really be that bummed out watching Carolyn make out with Tony? And like, think about, at least it's not Buzz. The honorable, if a little tipsy. And Tony's use of adoration and Liz saying, it'll do, are fantastic. This whole scene is so right for Liz. The combination of stately grace and dignity with down-to-earth, self-aware, and distinctly snide sense of humor that she reveals on the show. Thank you so much. Oh man, I'm getting misty here. The line about, don't young people do these things in automobiles? Line struck me as really funny in the sense that it could either be a shocked young people nowadays sort of line or a, well, in my day, we did this in the backseat of an automobile. Don't you have a car, young man, so you don't have to subject me to seeing you and my daughter paw each other on my couch? See, that's why I'm making a recording here, so you can get all the goodies from me. Oh man, this is so good. Okay, where was I? Just enjoying every moment. See, come back on screen. Let's see, where was I? Maybe I should just use the cursor to make sure where I knew my place was. Naturally, I think it was more than the latter than the former. I can very clearly picture young Liz making out with admirers in the back seat of a Ford two-door or such like Model T type thing. Thank you very much. Oh my gosh. Love the jab about not being alone and disappointment about Nikki Boy not being Satan. And we were watching the show, right? And we're just like, ooh, it's Satan. And they suggested that maybe he was, you know, Barnabas says, you know, something brother or brother devil or something. I can't remember. It was weird. And we're just like, maybe he is. And then we found out he wasn't. And we're like, oh, he's just some schmo. And like, And so then when I started doing this, I was like, Hecubus and Milligan are going to feel the same way. Because they're all into that guy. Not Nicholas, but the other guy. Since that's one of his possible identities that I guess was discussed when he first came. Yeah, that's what I just said onto the show. Maggie and Barnabas' dance sequence and all their interactions at the Blue Whale are lovely. I loved Barnabas' line about hoping that whoever she calls Mr. Collins isn't him. Oh, there's so much stuff that I've just been so wrapped up. There's so many good things about this ep that I forgot. Yeah, it just came out. I think 7, I was really getting the process down. And Professor Stokes' jab about Professor Higgins and Colonel Pickering is fantastic. Thank you. I can so completely hear him saying that. So that's what I've got. And it's 1 in the morning. Oh, I'm so sorry. So I will sign off here. I hope it won't be another god-awful huge stretch of time before I review episode 8 with the usual caveats about the Lord's willingness and the crick. Well, whatever, I'll edit this for listenability and send it to you post haste, and because it's enjoyable. That's what we should be doing. We should be doing enjoyable things, and I think all of this is very enjoyable indeed, long term, not short pack led. 5-second gratification. Oh gosh, thank you so much. Take care. Bye.
And if others want to do similar reviews and get me candidly reading and sending my reactions, let me know. There was another person that I did that to because I just appreciated her responses so much. And actually, it was good because then I'd read it in kind of in front of my husband, just with what I do the interviews with the sound recorder. And I can't promise to do this every time or even at all, but what was nice was while me and my husband were having fun with it, at the end, we sort of went into the Bob and Doug McKenzie roles, like we sort of took them on, and then we tried to decide, wait, which of us is David Thomas, and which one of us is Rick Moranis? which is Bob, and which is Doug? Which one of us? the McKenzie brothers. And it was good, because the person who was getting the MP3 of my reading of her review, I was like, I hope you know who the McKenzie brothers are. Oh yeah, I know who the McKenzie brothers are. Well, okay, so this will be good. You'll have fun with this. And that was the wildly creative part. And like I say, you know, the do it all on your own. No. Can't do anything all on your own. And I said in the blog, you know, this is why human babies are so helpless. It takes a long time. Human beings are very complex. The Everyman is an island. I don't know what poisoned us into polluting each other with that ideology. It really, independence is illusionary at best. It really is. I mean, you could say that, you know, certain independences that we can't actually strive for, but I learned to take myself a lot more seriously when I was trying to get a driver's license, and it was horrendous what I had to go through to even get close, because my folks were not there to provide that help, and I don't think I would have trusted them if they were, just because. Long story. But yeah, you know, you really need a lot of interpersonal relationships and help and all kinds of stuff, not only to get a permit, to get a license, to get a car. You know, my cousin was talking about it was super difficult for her to get a car. So the idea of independence, I mean, that right there says it. You need a lot of people to get that done. And then when you got it done, you are surrounded by a ton of different people. You know, you don't know how they're gonna knock into you or whatever. You know, it's not just about you making the right decisions. It's about everybody around you making the right decisions. I remember we played a Q&A game, and one of the questions came up, and it said, if there was a piece of technology, would you be for or against it if you knew that this piece of technology that would make transportation so much faster and so much easier, but it caused this percentage of major deaths or injuries, would you be for it or against it? And one of my cousins, who was very young at the time, he said, it's cars. That already does it. And his sister said, yeah. They were both very young, and I was like, it's true. So, you know, when we talk about using maybe Star Trek transporters, and you realize all of the difficulties, you know, oh no, 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 No. And then, well, it's part of science fiction is showing you certain things. One lady at my church, I really appreciated. She says, you know, you really have to have faith to get behind the wheel of an automobile. You really have to have faith because there's so many things that can go wrong. And I was like, wow, yeah, made a big difference for me to hear her say that. So hopefully that's enough information to keep you sated about what's coming up for the pits that I'm going to keep working on and what I need, what you need, what's good, how to try and keep it good. Always going to be bad things. But if we ignore each other or get lazy with keeping in touch with each other, it just gets worse. So keep writing, keep in touch, not just with me, but with each other. And just keep coming. Take care.